blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 278, stanzas 1, 4, and 5, the tender love a father has for all his children dear. Such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 278.
Let us next make confession with the Church of all ages in the words of the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Scripture reading is from Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O thou most holy, righteous, good-doing, long-suffering, God of heavens, God of the earth, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, with whom is only holiness amongst all that are about thy throne, as Satan cast out therefrom, and no sin shall be able to enter into that holy place. And we are in thy holy place here upon the face of this world. O Lord, thou knowest what we have dragged along with us into thy holy place. It is a carnality, that carnality in our minds which is death, and it is so much of that flesh that still remaineth unto the people of God here while they are below, so that we are but a hold of every foul creature and a cage of every unclean bird. And we bring it with us wherever that we go, even in our most holy duties, and even into thy very house of prayer. O Lord, we beseech thee and that here, where that fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness may be declared in thy house, and that thou wouldest also come, descending with thy Holy Spirit unto this place in this hour, to renew us unto a new life, and to wash us and to cleanse us of all that wretchedness and all that miserable and undone uncleanness and that is living within us and bringing forth every iniquity that is possible and abomination here below. O Lord, teach us who and what we are and humble us under thy holy law that has now become weak through the flesh, through our flesh who is not able to obtain the least righteousness and obedience to the single one of thy holy commandments, O Lord, that we need to be forgiven. We need a surety. We need a mediator in and through whom we may be viewed by our great and righteous judge. Oh, we need one who is so holy, who is immaculate, and who is all-powerful, almighty, to regenerate and to redeem as such a creature as we and our children have made ourselves to be. Oh, we can only beseech thee, Lord, and we can beseech thy Holy Spirit that thou wouldest make intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered before that holy throne, that we also may be heard, and that thou wouldest come and do that great miracle that is so necessary for us and our children, and that is bought with a great price by thy dear and only beloved Son, who has said it is finished, so that there is no more to be added to his work. And thou hast shown thy satisfaction in raising him from the dead. But Lord, thou knowest that it is not yet ours until that it is applied by thy most holy Spirit. Oh, we beseech thee then for the application to such as we are, even as we have come up in this day unto thy house of prayer, that thy work may be evident and that it may be made manifest that thou still movest with the wind of thy Spirit, regenerating as no man knowest how that thou dost move in this one or in that one. And may it be for a surprise also in this day to one who has come up in his impossibility and in all the greatness of his iniquity, which he is not able to purge away. Oh, that there may be a great gift, and that is bestowed without money and without price by him who has bought it with the price of his own blood. Oh, that we may not be given to despise that great price to try to add to it as if there is the least thing that we are able from our side to add unto that complete and pure and finished work, or that we may be given in all our wretchedness and in all our misery to receive it out of thy hand so freely as thou dost bestow it, and by free and sovereign grace. Oh, that the eyes of this one or of that one may go open in this afternoon, Lord, that thou may give that their case may also be cast upon that great and firm foundation, and that they might feel that thou with thine everlasting arms are underneath, and that they may be given so wholly and truly to lay all things upon him, and that thou wouldest take it all over from their shoulders. O Lord, it is such a wonder when thou wilt so do in the life of a man, so undeservedly from our side, so unexpectedly, to make a man rejoice, even as he has never rejoiced in his life. Oh, thou sayest that mourning and weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, may it be the experience of many in our midst, both young and old. Look upon us in all the needs and the cares of this life. Thou knowest those that are afflicted and sick, him who must receive surgery in this week. Thou knowest the trembling of his heart. O Lord, be near and dear unto him, and give what is necessary to bring him through for the blessing of the body, for the extension of his life, and for his wife, for his children, and for us as a congregation. Oh, could it be for a blessing for his own soul? Oh, that he might learn to hunger and to thirst with pain, that he also might learn to eat and to drink with great pleasure and suitability. O Lord, remember those that mourn in these days. Remember all those that have no desire for thee. Lord, thou alone can plant it in the heart, and thou usest often means in this world in thy providence. O, that thou mayst so use also and the things which have taken place in the midst of our community, for the sake of our children and our young people, oh, that we may be given in the days of our youth to flee the Sodom of this world, and that we may hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that thou may supply in the great need of the soul in the day of its trouble. Lord, remember husbands and wives. Remember parents and children. Remember those that have none, those that are not married. Remember all those that have their own crosses. Wilt thou supply in the needs? And wilt thou look upon us also as a denomination? Wilt thou give, could it please thee in the time to come, men to go forward in thy service? O Lord, the harvest is great, the laborers are few, and they also do become older and tremble in the body. O Lord, who shall go forth to bring thy word to our children and to our grandchildren? Oh, do bind it upon our hearts as a congregation, that we may be given to lift up our voice unto Thee, and that Thou may hear from heaven Thy dwelling place in all of our need. Also for teachers in our schools, oh, do give young men and women, and that may have it bound upon their hearts, and that great need, and that Thou may give a desire to give themselves unto that great work, which is so influential in the hearts of our young people. Do look upon this country. Thou knowest that with the weeks that we are in, where a ruler must be elected, Thou knowest all of our discouragements. Thou knowest the poverty. O Lord, we beseech Thee to have mercy upon us. O, to raise up Thy own hand and to bring us back to Thy law and to Thy testimonies. Do keep us in this hour. Give us strength for our labor. Wilt Thou give clarity in speaking? Oh, that Thou would cast out all the buyers and the sellers, and that Thou would give us a little blessing out of Thy most heavenly store, even in this afternoon hour, undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 243, stanzas 1, 5, 6, and 7. In vision to His saints God spake, from out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save, ordained, exalted, strong to save. 1, 5, 6, and 7 of Psalter 243. beloved congregation. Peter writes, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Thus he says, given unto us all things through the knowledge of him. Who is that? That is Christ. There is nothing so necessary for us as the knowledge of Christ. That is by a true saving faith. Through, he says, that knowledge, the church is given all things. What do you think of that, young people? They're given all things. What kind of things? That is not the world. No, what does he say here? He says, exceeding great and precious promises. He says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Even, he says, to be made partakers of the divine nature, all through the knowledge of him. We have heard of the children of Israel, how that they have gone through the sea. And when they went through that sea, the Lord has cut them off from the land of Egypt, so that going down into that sea, that descending into that sea, was a decisive act of every single one of the children of Israel. And there, in and through that act, then they experience that the Lord takes them over for his own account. You say, were they not always for the account of the Lord? Was that not from eternity? Was that not already in the promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob? Was that not also when they were living in the land of Egypt and when their cry had come up before God? Indeed, they were for his account, but there is a difference. Not from the Lord's side that there is a difference, but there is now a difference from the side of the children of Israel. They have gone down into that sea. Thus they have come and they have learned trust. Trust. Blessed thing. They have never known that. In such a way, oh, you say, sure, they lived in the land of Egypt and they needed food and drink too there, and the Lord had to give that from heaven. And thus, in the same way, we all need to learn such a trust, don't we? Even though with our foot we do like the Egyptians and that we are watering our gardens and our fields. You say, but we need that from the Lord. Yes, but something else has to happen in our life. Just like happened unto the children of Israel. Then they lived it out in their extremity and in their helplessness, in their hopelessness. And then they were cut off from what? from all their old labors. They were laboring hard, right, children? Very hard. They had to uphold themselves in their existence, didn't they? They had to labor that they may maintain their own life, that they may not be destroyed by Pharaoh. And now the Lord cuts them off from all of those labors. And now the Lord brings them feelingly under the pillar of his cloud by day. And the Lord brings them feelingly under the pillar of his fire by night. And now everything is provided for them. From heaven, they're made to feel that. They're made to depend on that. Every morning and every night. You know what that is? That is the life of grace. Is that not a beautiful life? When that way of grace is now revealed to such a laboring soul in all of his distress, in all of his hopelessness, and then he is given power, just like that woman with that withered hand. She had no power. And then she received power from the Lord. And when the Lord is now revealing himself, the Lord is giving to that people power. Oh, power in that moment to exercise that faith that the Lord is giving unto them and to do that most decisive act, trust. Trust in that revealed Savior. Oh, they may do that sometimes with so much trembling that they went down trembling. You say, was that perfect trust? What is perfect trust? Oh, they may see it sometimes from so far away. We read of those who have stood far away from that cross, right? They stood far off. And there are people that see it so from the distance. There are people, they may behold him for a moment, and with trembling, they may still yet cast for a moment their case upon him and feel something of that relief for the distress of their own soul. And that congregation is so necessary. That is so important because it is, as we have said, the most essential act of faith. That is Christmas, experienced in the soul, that is going through that straight gate, that is in the beginning of that narrow way, that is coming through that wicked gate. Then all the old things are passed away. And all things, they are become new for the people. What does Paul say now? Through the knowledge of him. Do you know him? Do you know him? You say, that is a big word, to know him. I know. But do we know what it means to come to that sea? And do we know what it means for the Lord to give unto us and that going down into that sea? Oh, that most important act of faith, and by now that knowledge of him. Then Paul says that church receives everything. That's why we say that it is so very, very important. Oh, our whole eternity does hinge on this very point. Because out of this faith is coming a whole host of blessings, a whole host of privileges That is what our fathers show to us in our catechism. They have led us through that way of misery. They have led us unto the knowledge of that Savior. And now they begin to lay out for us all the benefits in those 12 articles that are now to be received by that church by a true and a living faith. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 9, question 26 is our subject of consideration for this afternoon hour. Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26. What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth, with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt, but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. So far our Lord's Day, faith in God the Father. First, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second, the Father of our creation. And third, my Father. Faith in God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second, the Father of our creation. Third, my Father. Congregation, last Lord's Day we heard that God exists as a Trinity, three persons in one essence. That entire Trinity, we heard, is involved in the redemption of the Church of God. And now we begin to hear about the particular persons of that Holy Trinity and their particular work, out of which are flowing also particular blessings to each and every one of God's true church. Thus, first, we hear of God the Father, the eternal Father, our instructors say, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, that is the first way, the first manner in which he is called Father. That is because he is the Father of him whom God's word says is begotten of him. And therefore, he is called his Father. Thus, the terms Father and Son are being used to distinguish between the first two persons of the Trinity. And those terms are not made up by man, but those terms are given unto us by God himself in his word. Thus God is calling himself the Father of his Son. There is therefore very much in this. Because the terms Father and Son say what to us? They indicate a relation. That is a relation that we know, because it is a relation that we experience within our own families. We know, boys and girls, what a father is, and we know what a son is. And it is through the use of those words that the Lord is revealing things about himself that we may come to some kind of a knowledge, though limited, about himself. The disintegration of the relation between fathers and sons is damaging, hurtful to faith. How is that, sons, with your father, and daughters, with your mother, with your father's children and your mothers? How is that? That relation, that is very important. That that be a proper relation, because that relation is showing to us something about God. And when we see that relation not rightly here below, then we have not the right thought, the idea that the Lord is presenting of himself within his holy word. And now we read that the Lord Jesus is very often, when he was here on earth, speaking about his Father. You do that too sometimes, boys, that you speak about your Father. The Lord Jesus spoke about the greatness of his Father. He says, my Father is greater than I. He spoke about the kingdom of his Father. He spoke about the glory of his Father. He spoke about the face of his Father. He said, the angels in heaven, they do always behold the face of my Father. What a great privilege. What a great honor that he gave always to his Father. How he spoke about him and how he has desired men that they would magnify and glorify his Father. He spoke about the Father's love. He says, therefore, my Father loveth me. He spoke about his own oneness with the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. He spoke about the sending of his Father. He spoke about the work of his Father. He spoke about the will of his Father and his own desire to do the will of his Father. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He spoke about the commandment of his Father. This commandment, he said, have I received of my Father. He spoke about his own obedience to the Father. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He spoke about the promise of his Father. What was that? What did the Father promise him? Well, he says, those whom thou hast given me. Thus he spoke about his church. They were the promise of his Father. That is a very precious thing to the Lord Jesus. When you receive something from your Father, children, you say, that is precious. I got it from my Father. My Father gave it to me. That is now so of his own church. That is precious to him because it is given unto him, a gift to him from, he says, my Father. Thus he spoke about the gifts. He spoke about the blessings of his Father to himself, unto his people. He spoke about the revelations of his Father, the teachings of his Father, the knowledge of his Father, the preparations of his Father, how that he was preparing a place in heaven, even for his church. He spoke about going to his Father with great desire. Then he had also a desire to go unto his Father. Thus, so very, very often, was the name of his father upon his lips as he did all his labors here below. And then we see something of that relation as well when the Lord Jesus felt in that human nature and under the weight of the work that he was given to do, that weakness of that human nature, and that he has gone aside all by himself to pray unto his Father. And then especially in the very greatest parts of his suffering, that he has laid himself down there in that garden, and he has gone in his agony and in his distress of soul unto his Father. And when he was upon that cursed tree, oh, once again we hear that supplication from the Son of God, even unto his Father. Oh, how much that Christ had to do with his Father, even from his childhood, children. And then he said to his earthly mother and father here below, then he said to them, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Oh, then what a tender relation was between the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. Everything that he did was at his Father's bidding. Everything that he did was for his Father's glory. And everything that he did was with his Father's blessing. And now this God, this first person of the Holy Trinity, he is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is by virtue of this fatherhood that he becomes the father also of his own people. The Lord Jesus calls himself the bridegroom. Thus he says, "I am married unto you." Thus he is married unto his church. And it is by virtue of that union, that marriage of Christ, that bridegroom and that bride, that the father of that bridegroom also in that day becomes the father of that bride. Thus it is through the relation that Christ has to his Father that also the church is receiving that same relation. Everything that the Father is to Christ, the Father also becomes unto his people. Thus, Paul says, "Whereby they cry, Abba, Father." That is by, he says, the spirit of adoption. And how our instructors, they speak of the great comfort to the church in the fact that he is God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth. That is our second thought, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence. Thus God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is also the Father of the creation, we read. How is that? He is the maker. He is the creator. Despite unbelieving man's rejection of this, the existence of God and the creation is not only taught out of the Word of God. No, it is also taught out of nature itself. The evolutionist actually has no solution to the existence of matter. If you ask them how it develops, they say, well, it's developed by randomness and different changes over billions and billions of years. Yeah, but where did it come from to begin with? Yeah, that we don't know. No, they cannot know. Because there must be something before matter to bring it into existence, unless it has in itself an eternal existence. Thus, there are even atheistic mathematicians that do say to us and prove out of mathematics that it is actually impossible for the theory of evolution to explain how all the complex function that is in the world is able to be here. They say that is actually mathematically, when you will look at it, and according to all of probability, it is really not possible. Thus, the Apostle Paul, he says that even the natural man that has not the Word of God, he is also without excuse. He says, because the invisible things of creation, that is from the beginning of the world, he says, they are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That is us, that is understood by us, the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. He says, everyone, even without the word, is able to see, and in their own mind, there is no excuse that anyone should believe that all of these things did not come about by God's creation. Thus, it is speaking about it before we even come to the Word of God. But we, young people, is that not a wonder? We also have the Word of God. And that Word of God declares unto us so plainly that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as our fathers say, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his providence, that we hope to speak about if all is well next week. Thus, this creator and this upholder of our universe is also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and his church. So this is now the connection that our fathers are here making. They are not trying to prove the creation, not naturally, not even out of the Word of God, but they are here making a connection. They are assuming our belief that we believe that creation was made by God, and stating it for us. Why? Because this fact is of the greatest comfort for the faith, for the life of God's true people. And why? Well, that is to strengthen faith. He says, because there is nothing that this creator of heaven and earth and this provider for all the earth is not able to do. That he is not capable of performing. That is not true of us, fathers. Because we may be a father, and that fatherhood has much meaning. Because there is stated in that word what is living in that relationship, the love and the tenderness that a father has for his children. But we are weak. And in our fatherhood, we have not the ability to do everything that the love of our heart would like to do for the sake, for the benefit, for the welfare of our children. And now our fathers say that this is now different for the true church of God. He says, because their Father is the creator and he is the upholder of heaven and earth. And thus he is almighty. Paul says, the weakness of God, what is that? The weakness of God, if that were possible, is stronger than men. Of course, there is no such thing as the weakness of God. But that almighty power of God is now connected to fatherhood. Now, congregation, who are more blessed than those who are children of such a father? But let us sing first from 168, 1 and 4. Before thee, Lord, a people waits to praise thy name in Zion's gates. To thee shall vows be paid. In what follows, 1 and 4 of 168. Faith in God the Father, first the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, second the Father of our creation, third my Father, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth, with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely, that I have no doubt but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. Congregation, what more blessed thing could be possible? Then it does not say that he is for the sake of Christ his Son become my Creator. No, he has become my Father. Thus that relation that we had to him in the creation is now being exceeded by the relation that the Lord is bringing his people into in the redemption. That is not only creator and creature, no, but it is Father and Son. Oh, the fall was an awful thing. The fall was a sinful thing on the side of man. But oh, how God has decreed it for something that is so, so precious and that would not be able to be brought forth except through it. For the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, congregation, what more blessed life is there than the life of a child? He is in every way blissfully dependent. Does not have to take care of himself. He does not have to provide for himself. Ah, do you ever look at him? You say, oh, he may just live a life of trust. He may then just live a life of ease and liberty under the direction of father and mother, who put bounds about him and who do protect him in every way. And now in the wisdom of God, he is brought forth into a domestic love. He is brought forth not into the care of the state, but he is brought forth into the world and under the care of a father and under the care of a loving mother who is ready to give himself. You will do that, parents, right? You say, oh, if it is for my child, then you are ready to give yourself even for that child. My God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt, but he will provide me all things necessary for soul and body. No doubt. Say, that puts me on the outside. That puts me on the outside. I cannot attain to this. I am so often filled with fears. I am so often filled with anxieties. And if this is really the way it is for that people, then I am outside of the number of that people. Congregation, what is now being described here? Faith. faith in God as Father. And what is being described here is the power of that faith in God as Father. How can you possibly describe the power of that faith except that you describe that power in the height of its strength? Do you want to try to describe to someone the power of fire and what it can do? Then you are certainly not going to describe a smoldering heap of ashes. But if you want to describe the power of it, you must describe it at the height of its strength. Does that mean that that fire is always burning at the height of its strength? No, it certainly does not. But it is a description of the strength of what that fire does and is. What are our fathers describing here? They are describing here the faith of a child in its purest form. And what does that child do as a child when it just rests, when it just casts itself upon its father? It does not doubt his father. That is what faith does. Thus that faith is being here described in its strength. That is now the ease which true faith is giving when it may be exercised. That is the faith, the ease that that faith is giving unto a true child. What a blessed reliance. We read, casting all your cares upon him who careth for you, who is both your Father and the Creator and the Provider of this whole universe. That, of course, does not mean that that faith is always in exercise. No, that is another matter. That is not reality. In the life of the true church, you read that through the Bible from the beginning unto the end as they go through this wilderness. And further, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing, being a faithful Father. Valley of tears, that is what this life has become. Do you believe that? Believe that, children, young people? You don't believe it yet, do you? Say, I don't see that. No, but you will find it out. Because when God's children, they have gone through that sea, then what? They did not enter into Canaan right away. No, they came into the wilderness. 40 years. They had to travel through that wilderness. And now all these things, what the Lord is giving unto his people, is giving them strength that they may travel through that wilderness, that waste, howling wilderness, through every affliction and through every trial, until they are brought unto that city of God. To whom now does this privilege belong? Because God is addressed as Father by multitudes of people in our day. And sometimes we tremble when we see and we hear these things. And then you see the life. Then you say, ah, do those things now go together? What do we read in Romans 8? We read of God giving his people the ability to say, Abba, Father. But then he speaks also about something else. He speaks about a life of sanctification, doesn't he? He speaks about a flesh and putting away the deeds of the flesh. This congregation, how many of God's children do not dare to take this name upon their lips for fear of presumption when they look at their whole life and they say, can such a person actually be a child of God as Father? To whom then does this privilege belong? That they may call God their Father. Listen to something. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What does the Lord speak about? He speaks about separation. And now separation is what the Lord did unto the children of Israel. He separated them. He separated them from that land of Egypt. Now we ask you, would they have done it themselves? Never. Never. They had it good there in the land of Goshen. We read later that they are looking back. They were enjoying there the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers. The Lord says, no. You're not going to remain here in the world. And the Lord knows just how to make Egypt into a burden unto the children of Israel. Did the Lord ever do that in your life? To make the Egypt of this world into a burden? The Lord brought them out by his own strong hand out of Egypt. And he separated them at the sea. And then he opened there for them a new way. And that people may indeed by the power of the Lord cast themselves upon that way. And thus there was a separation. And now these are his children. He has separated them and he has brought them to dwell under that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. True separation, when you say, does that take place? Well, that takes place in regeneration, doesn't it? Are you regenerated? You say, I do not know that. No, that can very well be. You say, it looks in my life just the opposite. Regenerated, I have all this world that is living in my heart. Or in that day of regeneration, a person actually becomes a child of God. A son of the Father. But congregation, just like a child is born in this world, we do not know. We do not know that moment of regeneration. But what do our fathers speak about here? They speak about the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. Here is now something that is experienced Here is now something that is known for the sake of Christ his Son. Remember that? At the sea. Remember that in your own life? Faith begins here. Not in its existence, no. But it begins to believe in the Son of God. When that Son of God is revealed unto your own poor soul, then congregation, you begin to believe in him. Then actually you are baptized. You are baptized unto Moses, who is a type there of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Lord says in his word that God is now the Father of everyone that believes in his Son, every one of them. To as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It is not so that everyone who believes on his name is able to conclude that God is his Father, that I am a child, but he may, because it is in that holy word of God, or that knowledge of the sonship that is generally received as what we call a reflexive act of faith. The Spirit itself, we heard this afternoon, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Because Paul, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Spirit of God. You say, am I led by the Spirit? Are you led by the Spirit of God? Where does the Spirit of God lead? Out of Egypt. To the sea. Into the impossibility. Do we bring ourselves there? No. No. It is against our flesh. We fight against it with everything that is in us. That Spirit of God is leading out of Egypt. That Spirit of God is leading to the sea. That Spirit of God is also opening that way. That Spirit of God is leading a man down through that sea. And thus to everyone who is led by that Spirit of God, to them gives he power to become the sons of God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is pleased to seal the sonship of his church. That is something else. That is a privilege that some of those children of God may receive. But that blessing of the knowledge of our sonship is a blessing, congregation, that ought to be sought by God's children. It is a great comfort to their own soul, and it is also to the glory of God. If you had an adopted child, we have some adopted children, right? And now an adopted child, you say, if he would not dare ever to say Father, you say, what a grief. What a grief. And what is now that Father trying to do? He is trying to bring him to that place, that he might say, just like all the other children, Father. That's not easy. It's not easy. And why not? Well, you say, that child. Then he wants, if he wants to be true about it, then he wants the evidences, right? What are now the evidences that you are really my Father? And so it is not easy very often for that church. They are looking for the evidences. And sometimes those evidences, they cannot see them. For all the world and all the carnality, you say, oh, I am a son of Satan. For all the wickedness that is living in my heart, all the evidences for those children, they are necessary for them to see them, if they will be true about it, that they may also call and rely on him as their Father. But how much profit? How much profit is it for the people that they may receive such a knowledge? Because it is 40 years. They have to go through the wilderness, through all the trials and all the afflictions that are in this life. And what did Jacob say? He says, all these things are against me. Was it so? No. No, that was not so. Why? Because it all came upon him by the hand of his heavenly Father. Oh, do you see the great blessedness of this privilege to be a child and to know that I am a child? Wherefore, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a Father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is such a precious thing that we may try to utter a few words about in all of our ignorance. O Lord, give us to know that blessed relation and give thy church to live out of it each and every day, that it may be evident to all about them, and that blessed ease by which that they may go through and this Meshach here below, even with all the wretchedness and all the sin, but also relying upon that grace and that price, that awful price, and that was paid by thy dear Son, drinking continually from that fountain, until the day when this life may be changed for a life eternal, when they may rejoice forever without the flesh, or when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall put on immortality, and when they may come in that place where sin shall no more enter, as a disobedient and as a rebellious child, but that they may live so purely, so perfectly, in that blessed relation with their elder brother. O Lord, remember each and every one of us. O give us thoughts of eternity, and that our hearts may be in heaven, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, and that we may be not carnal, but spiritually minded continually. Be with us in the rest of this day. In this week, keep us on every side for Jesus' sake. Amen. 73, 1, 3, 4, and 5. The Lord Almighty is my light. He is my Savior ever near. And since my strength is in his might, who can distress me or affright? What evil shall I fear? 1, 3, 4, and 5 of 73. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.